Accession number 18494, Reel 10.
Mr. Perry, 11th Hussars, Reel 10.
This Ruby had been on, she'd been away on munitions at Welland Garden City, and then she'd, after we got married, I think she left the munitions and she'd come back home, and she got a job in the Parks Department until we'd, more or less got together again, you could say, and then we had the chance of this bungalow, and we've been here ever since. Well, this was her. We got this really through her employee, who employed her before she went on munitions. He, one of the big families of the town, and he told her that she could have one of these. Her brother was building one of these. He'd been he'd been a prisoner of war in Japan, and some more of them. So they were, these others he had, I think they're all gone now. But anyhow, they were trained in bricklaying, etc., and they built them. And they were building these bungalows. Well, they built these two, and so forth. And that's how we got a bungalow.
Were these being built for returning prisoners of war or something?
The connection was, if he was on the council housing list, you would get put forward. And that's how we got put forward. I think we had to buy the land first, which was, not sure now, it's been a long time ago, £234 the land was at that time. And the bungalow, I think, was $1,234, I believe. Only about
$1,500
in that day.
That's a lot of money for those days, though.
Well, yes, I suppose you could say it, yeah. About $1,200, I think. No more than that, because the land was bought separate.
So you managed to lay hands on this sort of money. Did you get a bounty for coming out of the army?
Yeah, but my bounty wasn't a lot, about £70, I believe. I believe it's what it was, I wouldn't be sure. I think it was about £70.
So, you, very, very early on, in, after the Second World War, you joined the ranks of the Eleanor occupiers.
We were really lucky, as it happened. We got a bit of money, but very, very little, really. I suppose we got about, I don't know, we could have mustered £1,000 between us. But anyhow, I had that same time as I was buying this, I had a points pool dividend, which was very useful. £6,000. Yeah, in them days, it was jolly good. Yeah, £6,000. £6,000-some-odd.
This was football pools?
Yeah, football pool. Points pool. Pet had a penny pool, didn't they? And I had it was a Vernon's, and I had a line right up £6,000. Yeah. So it bought me house. I had my paths done. One or two other things. We've sold a piece of land since we've lived here. So we over the last, in the 80s, because at one time a day it used to go right up to the top. It was 200 feet from there to my boundary at the top. But I sold, I think, what have I got now? I forget what I got now. We sold a few on 339, about 120 feet, I think, of it. Yeah, more than that, though, because I've only got about 40, but I've got some out there. So I should say around about 120 feet. Yeah. Good job we did, because we'd never been able to do it today.
Well, if you sell it, you don't have to dig it.
No, that's right. No, that's right. That's right.
So what? What did you do after the trams?
What I done? I went as a greengrocer then, because the doctor say to me, he say, you've got to get something where you get regular meals. So I went. I went to work for the co-op, and I'd done about 19 years, I think, with them. And then what else did I do? Then I went on maintenance at the police station, and that finished. I finished me service in about 1972, 73, I should say.
What maintenance was this?
Well, you done anything maintenance, cleaning more or less, and so forth. Anything went wrong, you helped to put it right if you could, and so forth.
Changing light bulbs and...
That's right.
That sort of maintenance.
Yes, yeah.
You said your doctor said you've got to have regular meals. Were you having medical problems?
Yes, because I'd had a duodenal, you see, a duodenal ulcer. And the duodenal ulcer was the trouble, you see. He said, you want regular meals. And, of course, when I... Then I had vertigo, and that come along, so it was another trouble. And that was how it went, I think.
Do you think any of this was in any way connected with your war service?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
What way
this
that?
Was.
What's that? Is this psoriasis?
A psoriasis, yeah. I just had a go out and feel, well, it's over here now, come out. I just had a I hadn't had nothing for my injuries to eyes, just over my eyes, etc., etc. And I said to Ruby one day, I say, I'd already had a go through the British Legion, and you know, British Legion don't wake up. So I say to her, I'm going to see the soldier sailors and soldiers, sailors, and you know the
airmen, is it?
Yeah, soldiers, sailors, airmen. And I say I'm gonna phone him and tell him. So the one who was in charge of it. So I told him. He say, well, you ought to see the pension people at Norwich. So he phoned the people at Norwich, soldier sergeant and airman, and he said, I'll send somebody down. So they sent somebody down, and then we got started, and she say, I'm not having you having to go here, there and everywhere. That was a woman who came. She say, I'm not having you at your age go here. She said, well, make them come to you. So I had about four or five doctors come here, and in the end I didn't get a pension, but I got 6,000 quid out of them. But that was 50 years, remember? So I'm now going to have another try, you see. Take it up again with them.
And what was this award for?
Well, it was for the award was for the wound, which I'd had nothing for, and also for the psoriasis. And they say that they've left it open, you see, I can take it up with them again. So I shall take it up with them again.
So the psoriasis was...
Well, they say it's caused by war service, yeah.
In what way? Is this not your...
Well, it's nerves, more or less, isn't it? Yes, that's what they call it. But I went the other day to a British Legion meeting, and he say, look, you've got a lot of dandruff on your shoulder. I say, that's psoriasis, what they didn't give me nothing for.
Did they trace anything back to your being blown up that time? I'm just wondering about your vertigo.
Well, they wanted to know about it. Oh, yes, yeah. I don't think they give any reason for it. Well, they don't, do they? That's a rum job to get anything out of them, you know. But we did.
So who were the doctors that came to see you? Were they civilian doctors? Or?
Oh, yes, all civilian. Oh, yeah. I had a... my first doctor, he was from the NHS, I think. No, pensions. He come, and he reckoned I ain't got nothing. I say, look at that, Ruby, I say, and he says, that ain't nothing. You got it. No, he didn't say, I ain't got nothing. No, wrong words. He say, you've got it well under control. Then I had first of all, I had somebody for ears, for deafness. They couldn't give me nothing for that, so they didn't reckon. Then I had the one for the pension department, NHS, if you like. National Service, and then I had another one for whatever was it now? Can't think of it. Then I had another one. A lady come this time. This was the last one. We can tell you if you want to know. She come, and they couldn't see this scar. I had a scar, about 6-inch scar, because they took a lump of shrapnel out of my leg, you see, when I blew up on this mine, which was, about 6 inches perhaps. And nobody could see it. No, nobody could see the scar until... this lady come from Colchester. I say, nobody can see this. This was for something to do with, whatever do they call it? It's got a name in it. Ruby?
Anyway, whatever this woman came for, at the end of the day, you got a one-off payment.
One-off payment of £632. Well,
it's amazing how they work it out so precisely.
I can't understand it. So, what I done with it, I put it, I had all paved right down there. That was done since it was done. All around the bungalow and out the back, I've had that done. So I ain't got no grass now to cut. So, yeah.
Now, you had a family, didn't you? Got a, you say you've got a son, is that right?
I've got a son and a grandson.
So, yeah. when did he come along? Shortly after the war, or...?
No, I think he... Yeah, 1951, I believe, he was born. I'll have to ask him.
That's all right.
Well, I think that's 1951.
Yeah,
that's
then fine.
He had a son. He's got a son, and he's just left Otley College, which is horticultural, and he's got a job with Thomson Morgan, the seed merchants on the London Road. Yeah, Thomson Morgan.
So what do you think about, you lost, 5 years out of the middle of your life going off fighting the war? What sort of difference do you think that made to your life?
Well, I'd have still been at Hazlers, I reckon. Yes, I'd have still been at them. Because they were a good firm to work for. I never had any trouble with that. I mean, today you take it, where they go into a field, they run a lorry behind a combine or along beside a combine, and all the corn goes into this lorry and then they take it somewhere. But when I was with Hazer and Company, that all had to be thrashed and put into sacks, and loaded onto lorries and so forth. But today, you just look how things have altered. I mean, we see lorries go down here to the dock, loaded. Well, I say loaded, they are loaded, but they contain either barley, wheat, or something like that. In the days when I was... with Hazler and Company, we always used to send seed to the Balkan countries, trefoil seed and clover seed and all like that, and also we went to the London Docks, we used to go to Victoria. Millwall, round the other side, Silvertown Way. You must know some of these roads, Silvertown Way. We used to go to the Anglo-Continental Guiana Works. That used to be a part of Foyson's, they told me. And we used to go to Millwall for nitre of soda. We used to go to Malden for basic slag. It was all sort of in the thing. And I can remember, I often tell Reba, they talk about bones and things, they mince up, don't they? I tell her we were going to Joseph Rankin, and we were buying offal from Joseph Rank, which came from Russia. Yeah, but would they do it today, would they? Yeah, Joseph Frank.
Did you not think about going back to Hazlers when you were demobbed?
Well, I would have done, but she wanted to stay in Ipswich. Yeah, she don't like the country too much, you know. I've got a sister, still live at Dunmo, on her own. Yeah.
Did you even think, when you were in the army, did you even think of staying in, making that a career?
Well, I wasn't an army lover, although I'd had a good time with the 11th because they were good. I'm not going to say they weren't. They were a good lot.
But you couldn't see yourself staying in?
No.